Pittsburgh wins, and they go to 6-4. The Browns lose their fifth in a row, and now they go to 2-8 on the year. Final score here from Heinz Field, Steelers 30 and the Browns 9. Doug and I are back.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Browns, have all the X's and O's for your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Today, we're going to go back to the phone lines as you all react to what happened. Terry in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
The part that's being left out is that all the other quarterbacks you mentioned.
Isn't this Marco Polo?
We're true.
Is it?
No, this is Terry. We're true. Yeah, I'm not Marco.
Good.
They were true rookies. Everybody wants to pass it over. Johnny Manziel's not a rookie anymore. When he was a rookie, he couldn't sniff the field. Okay? You know that, and I know that. And the only reason he's on the field now is because of injury. He would still be on the bench. He'll never be a starter anywhere in the league, period. I don't know why you're riding this.
You saw no improvement in Johnny Manziel yesterday.
Very little. It's not like it's some leaps and bounds that he's really come on and is going to be some, you know, factor in the NFL. It's a gift to him again. He's got gifts all his life. He's entitled. We make every excuse for him in the book. He will never ever start. He'll hold a clipboard for the rest of his life. Period.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And again, I'm not, as you stated earlier, I was not an advocate, and in
not
some cases
all.
I'm changing simply because the losses continue to mount in favor of truly seeing what you have in Johnny. But I will let you know, having played this football game, that throwing for 372 yards on accident as a terrible quarterback doesn't happen. Because if you look at the number of times, how many times did Brandon Weeden throw for 372 as a bad quarterback in the National Football League, whether it's here or in Dallas?
Right.
Doesn't happen. It's hard to do.
Hard. 33 of 45, that's hard
and
to
it's
do.
Some, and it's some. Yeah. How many of those were in, how many incompletions were in, would we count as garbage
it was
time?
31
Six?
Of 35 at one point.
31 of 35. So we'll say five of those incompletions, you know, are irrelevant. So we'd finish, what, 33 of 40, we'll say, right? That's difficult to do.
Yes.
And you've got a drop in the end zone, which would have been another touchdown, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I just think to say that you don't see anything different, I think you're just being obstinate to the fact that Johnny Manziel is improving.
I agree. I mean, that's what I was trying to make
sure. No, I know you do.
You don't.
I'm just stating it to.
I don't. So you didn't see that he improved. I mean, what he did in that game versus what he did in Cincinnati in terms of making plays within the structure of the offense was completely different. All right, Ken in Costa Rica, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, good. Just one thing. Last week I heard somebody from Tucson call, and I think, Matt, you said your grandfather works at the U of A. Before I moved
Nathan's
to Costa
does.
Rica. Huh?
Yes, my uncle's at the U of A.
Okay. Before I moved down here to Costa Rica, I was 35 years in Tucson. You were right about the OK Corral, buddy. The mesquite smell of steak cooking, you can't beat.
Oh, it's the best. I agree.
Oh, man. Anyhow, what I call about is yesterday I was watching the game. It struck me kind of about longevity, and I think what brought it up was when I heard the Pittsburgh Steelers coach talk about when they heard they were going to change the two-point conversion. 2 years ago, they started practicing for two-point conversions. We haven't had a team 2 years ago that could have started to do that. I think longevity is a big part of our problem right now. If you look at the length of the time the Steelers coach and quarterback have been there, if you look how long Cincinnati and the quarterback has been there, and they, people don't like the Red Rocket. They thought he was a horrible quarterback for a long time, but they hung with him, and he still played, and look where they're at now. If you look at the Ravens, they've got the same thing going. It's longevity. We got to maybe bite the bullet for a year or two in losses to be able to build a foundation. Not every 2 or 3 years we're going to have to change this because it's just not working. I mean, we've suffered since 1999. If we suffer another year till they get their crap together, who's it going to hurt?
Right. And you're right. You need continuity, but you need the right kind of continuity. And I think that this is a team right now that over the final six games has an opportunity to at least set some kind of foundation for the future. And that's what I certainly hope to see. Let's go to Tim in Cleveland now. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks,
man. My gripe really isn't with the offense. Johnny played pretty well with miniature wide receivers, a bad offensive line, making mistakes, and no running game.
No running game. I mean, that's another thing. No running game.
Cam
Irving, I would say, had an inauspicious debut at left guard, if I want to be kind about it.
Yes, definitely. But my real problem is with the defense. I mean, we can't get any pressure on the quarterback, can't stop a running back. And we played Big Ben yesterday, who had one leg, and it's like we don't even try to blitz him. And we should be blitzing him up the middle every single time we get the chance to.
Force him to move, force him to get out of the pocket. I think you make very valid points there. And what was so interesting to me specifically about this game, and I don't know if, you know, perhaps we got gun-shy with the blitz because we were in so many ways burned by it last week, 6 of 6, perfect quarterback rating against us when we blitzed, that we didn't come out and blitz Ben Roethlisberger much at all in this game. In fact, when you go back and break it down, Ben Roethlisberger was blitzed only 5 of his 34 dropbacks. On those 5, he was 1 of 4 for 2 yards and 1 sack. My big question to you as a player who played in the National Football League.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Is if you're not blitzing on 29 of 34 dropbacks, how is it that on at least 11 of those, you are one-on-one on the outside without a safety over the top of clear vertical threats, and you give up between completions and penalties 312 yards passing on those 11 plays? So if you're not blitzing, why do you not have safety help over the top of vertical receivers?
That I don't know. I really don't. And to compound that, you're doing that without your best corner in Joe Hayden, who's, of course, still in concussion protocol. That might seem like a realistic mentality going into this football game with Joe Hayden, who can cover one of the two. And even though we've known Antonio Brown's kind of been like the Joe Hayden kryptonite, you know, okay, so put him on Bryant and have Tremont Williams and safety help covering Antonio Brown. I don't know. I really don't know. I think that in some cases, when we create our game plan, there is a false sense of we can do what we want to do and we're good enough against teams that we don't evolve into what we really are. You know? Meaning, I just find it very frustrating that time after time, Charles Gaines, no knock against him, but he's fresh off the bench, recovering from an injury. And you make a comment that says, we want to see what we have in him. Okay? And what were the statistics associated with him? He was targeted 6 times, gave up 6 receptions for...
Charles Gaines?
Yes, 140? 139?
Listen, you go out there and you go against one of the very, very best quarterbacks in the game. You go against some of the very best wide receivers in the game. And Ike was hitting on it all week. I really thought the addition of Martavis Bryant, remember the Browns didn't play him last year, was tough. Charles Gaines 4 times, targeted
four times,
gave up 106 yards receiving on those, so an average of 26.5 per catch. He did have the fumble. He had the wherewithal to strip the ball after he was beaten. Pierre,
awesome.
6 targets, 4 catches, 91 yards, including 3 of 3 for 81. That's 27 a pop to Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant was the guy that got us. Tremont Williams only gave up 2 catches for 25 yards, but had 2 pass interference penalties on 5 targets, but had 2 pass interference penalties for over 80 yards, so 100 yards on him. Johnson Badamosi, 2 targets, 1 catch, 56 yards on the touchdown. I mean, listen, Johnson Badamosi, one-on-one against Antonio Brown is going to be a win for Antonio Brown and the Steelers more often than not. And I just thought it was interesting, the strategy, because when I came into this game, if you're not going to blitz Ben and you want to keep him in there, you know, it seems to me that you would then, okay, I'm going to double Antonio Brown, and then I'll probably just play somebody deep over the top of Martavis Bryant. And if you want to try to walk down the field throwing the ball to D'Angelo out of the backfield, Heath Miller, Marcus Wheaton, so be it.
Yeah.
Now, you can't take away two guys all game, every game, when they're as good as those guys are.
No.
But you certainly can give Ben some type of pause. It was interesting being able to watch it from where I was on the in the end zone. He would look, and if we gave any type of pre-snap movement or any type of pre-snap tell that it was single high safety, he would give a hand signal to Martavis Bryant, which was to go deep, and then he would drop back. He would look the opposite way for about a second.
To pull the safety.
Just to freeze the safety, and then come back and threw the bomb. And he knew he was doing it every single time, and they had obviously a lot of success doing so against the Browns in this one, and it was one of the reasons I thought that defensively it was such a tough game overall for this team.
I agree. It's just very frustrating to me. You know, you're without your two best players, I feel, in the defensive backfield, and I felt like you could do more. You've got your eighth overall pick inactive for the football game as well in Justin Gilbert, and I just think that we were already in for the onslaught that is the Pittsburgh Steelers offensively and what we knew going into the season. And, I mean, the scoring records that they were talking about setting in yardage and so on and so forth. And then you got Johnson Batamosi, Pierre Desir, covering these guys down in, down out. I wish you could pull a rabbit out of your hat to fix it, but you can't.
Yes, we know that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Johnny Manziel, his comments after the game against the Steelers.